Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. It's time to review this week's broadband news. Let's get into it. We'll start in Washington, D.C., home to my favorite running route of all time. On the policy front, two members of the House of Representatives introduced four bills aimed at improving broadband access and affordability in rural America. The sponsors are Maryland Democrat April McLean Delaney and Pennsylvania Republican Rob Bresnahan. The package of bills includes a Rural Utilities Service Modernization Act focused on streamlining USDA permitting, a bill that would make affordability part of the underserved area determinations for grant awards, a measure to update the USDA Community Connect program and its speed requirements, and a final bill to expand distance learning and telemedicine support in rural communities. Of course, none of this becomes law just because it's been introduced, but it's notable to that legislators working on rural broadband are not just talking about this as an access issue, but also as a permitting issue, a pricing issue, and a telehealth and workforce issue. While we're in Washington, D.C., over to the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, the NTIA, they said they've renegotiated a deal with AT&T tied to the FirstNet Public Safety Network that will create about $2 billion in added value for public safety communications. U.S. Department of Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said roughly half of that $2 billion comes from reduced costs that can now be redirected into more investment for the nationwide public safety broadband network. The other half is expected to come from AT&T network and coverage enhancements. From Washington, let's move to network innovation, where this week's headlines ranged from practical 5G deployment to technology that sounds like it wandered in from a science fiction novel. Vitel Wireless announced that it has selected Ericsson as its 5G core and radio access network provider in a move designed to support a 5G standalone rollout in what the companies are describing as the nation's first rural carrier support for fully native 5G standalone voice over new radio, or VoNR, roaming with nationwide providers. So in plain English, this means this is about letting roaming users hold on to a more complete 5G experience in rural territory instead of leaning on older 4G technology. Vitel and Ericsson said the shift could remove legacy dependencies and support true end-to-end 5G roaming for voice. For rural providers, that's an important message. It says advanced wireless architecture is not reserved for the biggest national brands and the densest zip codes. Hanglement, and act like I know what that actually means. Telecompetitor editor-at-large Joan Ingebretson took a look at Quantum Corridor and its commercial Quantum Key Distribution Service, or QKD. The big idea is that traditional encryption depends on keys that increasingly powerful computers may eventually crack. QKD is designed to make key exchange much more secure by using principles of quantum physics, including entanglement and teleportation of information. Not teleportation of people yet, with apologies to the Star Trek fans out there. It's probably obvious that this isn't a mass-market broadband service story. You're not going to start talking to customers about quantum teleportation. It is, though, a useful signal about where secure networking may head. Now let's turn to the commercial market, where a few providers introduced simplified packages or sharpened their positioning. The biggest news from my perspective is AT&T's introduction of OneConnect, a bundled offer that combines home internet and wireless under one flat monthly subscription. The company said the service is meant to simplify billing and reduce the total cost of connectivity for households that buy both services. The plans range from an individual option at $90 per month to a plan for two people at $120 and a family plan at $225, all offering 1 gig fiber internet and varying wireless line allowances. The pitch AT&T is making is predictability, speed of sign-up, they said it can be done in 5 minutes, one bill instead of several, and also a lower combined price for home internet and wireless. The bigger industry angle, I think, is that convergence is still a popular move because it lowers churn, makes customers more sticky, and makes the monthly bill feel less painful, even when the total actual spend is substantial. And if you are one of the providers that competes with AT&T, I think this plan is something you're going to want to watch out for. Comcast Business made a related move in the small business segment with two new offers. Its Total Solutions Advantage combines business internet with built-in cybersecurity, and their Buy More, Save More service offers discounts when customers add complementary services like managed LTE backup, enhanced security, and mobile lines. Pricing starts at just $60 per month, and Comcast is also offering rate lock options and a money-back guarantee. What stood out for me about this deal, and why I think you might want to take notice, was just the price point, with a small business offer starting at less than many residential packages do. That push for simpler offers lands at a time when consumers are increasingly skeptical of pricing. A new report from Reviews.org found that 71% of their survey respondents said their home internet price had increased over the last year, and 88% said all fees should be included in the advertised pricing. Two-thirds of the people surveyed said they switched or considered switching internet providers because of hidden or unexpected charges, and 30% said they canceled or downgraded internet service in the past year because of cost. That should be a flashing warning light for providers. In a market where reliability and speed still matter, billing clarity has become a competitive issue. Customers want honesty and straightforward pricing. I can hear Pivot President Jeremy Graves saying to me, it's all about the experience. Speaking of truth in advertising, Charter agreed to modify its fiber-powered claims in Spectrum ads following a national advertising division challenge from AT&T. The issue was whether the language of fiber-powered implied fiber-to-the-home service when the network in question was actually hybrid fiber coax. Charter agreed to stop calling HFC fiber-powered and to disclose more clearly that the services are not delivered via fiber-to-the-home networks. This is one of those stories that looks small on the surface but cuts to a real industry tension. As fiber deployment grows and consumers become more aware of network differences, the words providers use in marketing matter more. Fiber-powered or claims of being fiber-adjacent may not be a category that either regulators or competitors are willing to stand for. And speaking of marketing, Google Fiber announced that they have officially become GFiber this week, continuing the company's broader repositioning after its deal with Astound to form a new company backed primarily by Stonepeak, which owns Astound, with Alphabet, which owns Google, retaining a significant minority stake. GFiber said the new name better reflects a mature provider's identity, and they pointed to multi-gig options, Wi-Fi 7 in certain tiers, symmetrical speeds, and a long-running commitment to no contracts and no data caps. Rebrands don't change network performance by themselves, of course, but they can signal a change in ambition. In this case, GFiber seems to be saying it wants to be seen less as an interesting Google side project and more as a committed broadband brand. And this week, we'll wrap up with a big-picture fiber outlook. A new RVA study said the United States is on track for record fiber-to-the-home spending over the next 5 years, with almost $200 billion expected to be invested from 2026 through 2030. The research pointed to a more diverse set of fiber builders, including telecom companies, cable MSOs, private competitors, municipalities, and rural electric cooperatives. It also said the historic dominance of Tier 1 telephone companies in fiber penetration will keep fading over time. But none of this means the road gets easier for providers that are deploying fiber. The report flagged familiar pain points like permitting, workforce availability, and materials. But the headline still stands. The fiber build cycle is very much alive, its cast of builders is broadening, the capital commitment remains huge, and the industry is still betting that fiber will be the long-term foundation of our future networks. So there's the news for the week. It was a busy week, and somehow we still made room for quantum teleportation. Not bad. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange. You can read all the articles we mentioned today at telecompetitor.com. Feel free to drop us a line while you're there. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.